In our last parable, we were noticing the Pharisee and the publican as they went up into the temple to pray. And I hope that parable has given you some food for thought. I hope that you can stand with the publican before God, not proclaiming your own goodness and not proclaiming your own religion, but confessing your sin, because the scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the only way we'll ever be right with God is when we come to the place of repentance. And I'd like to say this, that I feel that today, in a lot of Christendom, the note of repentance is missing. There's a lot of talk about receiving Jesus. But oftentimes, there isn't the emphasis there should be on the need to turn from sin and the need to recognize our own lost condition before God, a real change of mind, a turning from what we have been doing and from what we are, a turning to God and to His grace. And I hope that you've done that. Now today we're going to look at a parable in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take accounts with his servants. When he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, or today we could say perhaps $10 million. Inasmuch as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. Or we might say about $15 today. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and pleaded with him, saying, have patience with me. I'll pay you all. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you asked me. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was angry and delivered him up to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Two servants. The king calls his servants for a taking up of accounts, and various ones of the servants might have charge of a part of his possessions, a part of his farm. They had certain money to work with. Apparently this one servant had misused funds and had gotten terribly in debt, so much so that it was an impossible sum, $10 million. It was just something he could never, ever possibly repay. Now he said, be patient with me, and he says, I'll pay it. But looking at the situation, you'd have to say, here is a situation where the servant could never have repaid what he owed. So the king said, we'll have to sell him. He was a slave working for the man. He says, we'll sell him and get what money we can for him. And he says, I'm fed up with him. In effect, I'm fed up with his dishonesty and all the rest, and we'll just, sell him. This was his first thought. But when the servant came and pleaded with him, then this man was so compassionate, and his heart went out to him, and he says, I won't sell him. I'll just write it off. Write off the $10 million and forget it. And so he let him go. Now this servant goes out, and there he finds another man, one of his fellow slaves, who owes him about $15. And he grabs him by the throat, and he says, "You pay me that money, or," he says, "I'll throw you in prison." And the man pleads with him, "Please be patient with me. I'll pay you back." But this first slave says, "No, he has him thrown into prison until he pays debt." Well, some of the other servants saw what was going on. They went to the master and they said, "Hey, you know, that fellow that you were so generous and kind with, he's gone out and grabbed another servant by the throat and had him thrown in prison for $15. $15, and he has him thrown in prison." And when his Lord heard that, then he got angry and he called that servant back and he said, "Look, I was kind to you, I was generous to you, and I forgave you. I wrote off that tremendous debt you owed me, and you go out to a fellow servant who owes you just a little amount, $15, and you have that man thrown into prison until he pays it. I'm going to have you thrown in prison, and you're going to be punished because you're so unforgiving, so without compassion." Striking story, isn't it? And Jesus ends up by saying, unless you from your hearts forgive, you cannot expect to be forgiven by God. Now, of course, the king in this parable, the Lord Jesus is saying he's a picture, in a sense, of God. Now, as we look at these parables, let's not press every detail. And let's realize, of course, that our God is much greater than the king. And the king is simply being used here as an illustration of God and his dealings with man in one detail. But the things that we can emphasize, I think, are these, that surely, as we think of what we owe God, it's an impossible debt. An utterly impossible debt to pay. We have sinned. We have sinned time and time again. From birth on, we sin. You know, our parents may think we're the sweetest, dearest little things when we're born, but it doesn't take very long for self-will and temper, anger to show themselves, for rebelliousness to show, for meanness to show. Sometimes you see little children, they could be so mean to one another, hit one another. And you realize we are born as sinners. And as we go along through life, we keep adding to that debt of sin. We have sinned, we have sinned, we have sinned, until the debt that we owe to God's justice is impossible. It's overwhelming. Like for this servant that he speaks of here, $10 million. An impossible debt. And the only way that debt could be paid for us personally would be for us to be in hell forever, suffering for our sins. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. It says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus spoke of the place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not, and he spoke of punishment for sin. Now, of course, the wonderful thing is that our king is very compassionate. Our God is very compassionate. And in this story, of course, the king simply writes it off. But in our story with God, in our relationship with God, he doesn't write it off. He insists it be paid. Justice must be satisfied. And the Lord Jesus steps forward and he pays the debt. This is the gospel news. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he agonizes on that cross and pays that terrible, terrible debt. This awful debt. This debt that we could never pay. The Lord Jesus, by his death, satisfies all the claims of justice. You think of the tremendous value of his death, I sometimes am overwhelmed when I think of the sin of one person. Take, for example, a person who has been very wicked, very cruel. Take Hitler, for example, or Stalin. Both of them responsible for the deaths of millions and millions of people. Millions. Thousands and thousands tortured. All the injustice. All the fearful sins. How much they deserve to be punished for their sins. And you multiply that by the millions and billions of people, and you realize the overwhelming debt that mankind is owed to God. But the scripture says that Christ died for our sins, and he's the propitiation and satisfaction, not for our sins only, he says, but for the sins of the whole world. Oh, the value of Christ's death. Now, on the basis of our trust in Christ, and because of his death, God freely forgives us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, he says in Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And so God graciously, freely forgives us all our sins. He provides the payment for our penalty and forgives us. How we should be touched, how we should be moved to think of how much we owe God and what he has forgiven us. Freely. He says in Psalm 103, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removes our transgressions from us. Oh, the fullness of God's forgiveness. But the moral now is, if we have come to know God's forgiveness, if we have come to know his grace, then we must be gracious, we must be forgiving toward our fellow man. You dare not be hard on a person who hurts you or in some way injures you a small amount when you think of the tremendous debt that you owe God for which you have been freely forgiven. The scripture says, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Are you forgiving? If you're a believer, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus, is there anyone that you haven't forgiven, that you don't have a forgiving spirit toward? Anyone that you feel resentment toward, that you have a grudge toward? Listen, the Lord says, remember how much you have been forgiven, and you be very compassionate, and you be very forgiving. Not only seven times, he told Peter, 70 times seven. You forgive, you forgive, you forgive over and over again. You can never forgive others as much as God has forgiven you.